Ethelwold was Alfred's oldest nephew, the boy who should have succeeded his father, King Ethelred, though he was no longer a boy, for he was only a month or so younger than me, and in many ways he was like me, except that he had been sheltered by his father and by Alfred, and so had never killed a man or even fought in a battle. He was tall, well-built, strong and as wild as an unbroken colt. He had long dark hair, his family's narrow face, and strong eyes that caught the attention of serving girls. All girls, really. He hunted with me and with Leofric, drank with us, whored with us when he could escape the priests who were his guardians, and constantly complained about his uncle, though those complaints were only spoken to me, never to Leofric, whom Ethelwold feared. "He stole the crown," Ethelwold said of Alfred. "The Witan thought you were too young," I pointed out. "I'm not young now, am I?" he asked indignantly. "So Alfred should step aside." I toasted that idea with a pot of ale, but said nothing. "They won't even let me fight," Ethelwold said bitterly. "He says I ought to become a priest, the stupid bastard." He drank some ale before giving me a serious look. "Talk to him, Uhtred." "What am I to say? That you don't want to be a priest?"
"He knows that."
"No, tell him I'll fight with you and Leofric."
I thought about that for a short while, then shook my head. "It won't do any good."
"Why not?"
"Because," I said, "he fears you making a name for yourself."
Ethelwold frowned at me.
"A name?" he asked, puzzled.
"If you become a famous warrior," I said, knowing I was right, "men will follow you. You're already a prince, which is dangerous enough, but Alfred won't want you to become a famous warrior prince, will he?"
"The pious bastard," Ethelwold said.
He pushed his long black hair off his face and gazed moodily at Enflaed, the redhead who was given a room in the tavern and brought it a deal of business.
"God, she's pretty," he said.
"He was caught humping a nun once."
"Alfred was? A nun?"
"That's what I was told. And he was always after girls. Couldn't keep his breeches buttoned. Now the priests have got hold of him."
"What I ought to do," he went on gloomily, "is slit the bastard's gizzard."
"Say that to anyone but me," I said, "and you'll be hanged."
"I could run off and join the Danes," he suggested.
"You could," I said, "and they'd welcome you."
"Then use me?" he asked, showing that he was not entirely a fool. I nodded. "You'll be like Egbert, or Burgred, or that new man in Mercia."
"Cholwulf?"
"King at their pleasure," I said.
Cholwulf, a Mercian ealdorman, had been named king of his country now that Burgred was on his knees in Rome. But Cholwulf was no more a real king than Burgred had been. He issued coins, of course, and he administered justice, but everyone knew there were Danes in his council chamber, and he dared do nothing that would earn their wrath.
"So is that what you want?" I asked. "To run off to the Danes and be useful to them?"
He shook his head.
"No."
He traced a pattern on the table with spilt ale.
"Better to do nothing," he suggested.
"Nothing?"
"If I do nothing," he said earnestly, "then the bastard might die. He's always ill. He can't live long, can he? And his son is just a baby, so if he dies, I'll be king."
"Oh, sweet Jesus."
This blasphemy was uttered because two priests had entered the tavern, both of them in Ethelwold's entourage, though they were more like jailers than courtiers, and they had come to find him and take him off to his bed.
Beorca did not approve of my friendship with Ethelwold. "He's a foolish creature," he warned me.
"So am I, or so you tell me."
"Then you don't need your foolishness and courage, do you? Now, let us read about how the holy Swithin built the town's east gate.